burgers. I don't know.
All right, thank you all. I just want to make one quick statement. Executive sessions are confidential per Arizona statute. Ms. Pace, do you wish to start?
That would be great. Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the Commission for being here this morning, and I know coordinating everybody's schedules. This hearing before you today is to address the sole issue of whether the Commission has jurisdiction to hear the appeal of Ms. Senzen regarding her separation from employment from the City of Tucson. This hinges on whether Ms. Calhoun Senzen was a probationary employee or a permanent employee on the date of her separation, which was April 3rd, 2026. If she was a probationary employee, the Commission does not have jurisdiction to hear and decide Ms. Senzen's appeal, and we refer you again to the written request for dismissal in your packet on the appeal based on lack of jurisdiction. It was filed on July 16th, 2026. It's number A in your exhibit packet. Ms. Senzen has made several arguments to try to support her argument that she was a permanent employee despite serving less than 12 months of actual service to the City of Tucson. She does not anywhere assert that she actually worked 12 months. The undisputed fact is that the first day that Ms. Senzen provided services to the City of Tucson is April 7th, 2025. So that's a key fact in this case. And the last day that she provided services to the City of Tucson is April 3rd, 2026. Ms. Senzen does not dispute this. Instead, she is looking at administrative and clerical errors and trying to twist and argue that those errors or clerical errors of human beings working for the City of Tucson can somehow create rights that do not exist in the City Charter, the Code, or the Civil Service Rules, which are approved by City Council and can only be effective if approved. Her position cannot override the appeal process approved by Council, the Charter, and the Code and the Rules. Regarding the offer letter, her arguments trace back to one document, the February 17, 2026 performance evaluation that lists a period of report beginning April, that writes on it beginning April 1st, 2025 through December 31st, 2025 that was signed by Roy Lusk, who was the current city attorney. This one document with a single typographical error in the period of report versus a litany of documents, including an official letter signed by Michael Rankin, who was at the time the city attorney and department director for the City of Tucson Attorney's Office, which indicates the effective date of her employment. Ms. Senzen correctly points out that the actual date of appointment is the operative date for determining the probationary period, but she is in error in suggesting that the date of appointment is something different than her date of hire of the first day of work as recorded in the official personnel records of the City of Tucson. On page 2 of Ms. Calhoun's brief, she contends that the only document in this record reflecting the appointing officer's own identification of the appointment date is the performance evaluation. This is blatantly incorrect. The first and most important document in the record that reflects Ms. Calhoun Zen's appointment is the offer letter dated March 11, 2025, signed by Michael Rankin, then the city attorney and department head for the city attorney's office. It was the official act of an appointing officer to issue that offer letter, which is Exhibit A4 in your packet. And that exhibit appoints her to the position of Principal Assistant City Attorney with the effective date of April 7th, 2025. And again, that's A4 of your exhibits. Civil Service Rule 1, Section 3 is at Exhibit B, as in boy 1, and it defines the appointing officer as, quote, the city manager or other persons authorized by the charter to make appointments to the civil service, end quote. The charter, Chapter 5, or Chapter V, Section 2, is at Exhibit B, as in boy 3, defines the appointing officers of the city, and the city attorney is third on the list of appointing officers. Ms. Calhoun Zan's position that the review signed by Roy Lusk in February 2026 is the act of an appointing officer expressly identifies and admits that the city attorney is an appointing officer. Mr. Rankin was the city attorney at the time that she was hired by the city and was therefore the official appointing officer at the time of her appointment. The offer letter is Exhibit A4, and it's signed by the city attorney and offered her a position with the City of Tucson Attorney's Office. It is the, quote, appointment to classified service, quote, with the City of Tucson. So these are all defined in the applicable codes and chapter and charter. The Civil Service Rule 1, Section 3, Exhibit B, as in boy 1 in your packet, defines appointment as, quote, the action of an appointing officer which appoints a person as an employee in classified service, end quote. While the offer letter firmly falls within this definition, it is an action by the city attorney and department head, the appointing officer, to appoint Ms. Zenzen to a position in classified service. A performance review completed 10 months after the date of hire cannot be said to be an, quote, action, three ellipses, which appoints a person as an employee in classified service, end quote. Ms. Zenzen was already in classified service for 10 months at the time of the review, and in no way, quote, appointed her, quote, permanently to her position. The offer letter at Exhibit A4 expressly states that the effective date is anticipated to be April 7th, 2025. The contemporaneous business and personnel records of the city, including the staffing report, the employee history report, and job details reports, Exhibits A, 5 through 7, confirm that the effective date of Ms. Zenzen's appointment was April 7, 2025. Ms. Zenzen argues on page 7 of her brief that, quote, an offer letter's anticipated start date, end quote, is not an appointing officer's act. It is a conditional invitation extended before the appointment occurs. The better and correct interpretation is that the offer letter is the appointment and the acceptance of the offer letter is the acceptance of the appointment. What exactly is the difference between an invitation to be in the civil service with the city of Tucson and an appointment to the civil service? It is semantics. An invitation to work for the city is in this circumstance synonymous with an appointment to classified service. There's also a question raised by Ms. Zenzen about her vacation pay and whether that confers on her that she was classified as a permanent employee at the city of Tucson. There was a change in policy at the city which offered to pay vacation time. On February 6, 2026, Administrative Directive 2.01-7A, which guides vacation accrual and usage for city employees, was updated to change the payout upon termination. So under Administrative Directive 2.017A, which is Exhibit B as in Boy 2 in your packet, on page 4, Section VA, it provides that permanent, probationary, and appointed employees with more than 6 months of continuous service will be paid in full for any accrued vacation leave. So this was a benefit to Ms. Zenzen and was something that was independent of her that was changed across the board in the city of Tucson. Because probationary employees are paid out for unused vacation, and therefore the payment to Ms. Zenzen does not add anything to her position today about whether she's a probationary or permanent employee. It was just merely the city following its policy. Regarding the errors in the termination document, that does not establish that Ms. Zenzen was a permanent employee. Ms. Zenzen argues that the city invoked in its authority under Civil Service Rule 7, Section 3B, which is Exhibit 10 to Ms. Zenzen's brief, as the governing authority, which applies to permanent employees, and this makes her a permanent employee. That was her argument. An error in the citation on a termination notice does not have the ability to override the civil service rules or the charter, and it doesn't make her a permanent employee when she has not completed the 12-month probationary period. Nothing in the civil service rule requires that the city even cite to a specific provision. Rule 7, Section 2 requires only that for employees not meeting standards during probation, an appointing officer provide them a notice of discharge if the employee is serving under an original appointment or has not completed a prior probationary period. Again, the rules do not require that the notice cite any specific provision, only that it provide a notice of discharge for failure to complete the probationary period which occurred. On April 3rd, the city provided Ms. Zenzen with a, quote, notification of failure to complete probation, end quote, Exhibit A9 in your record. The memorandum states, this memorandum serves as formal notice that you have not successfully completed your probationary period for the position of Principal Assistant City Attorney with the City Attorney's Office, ellipses. This decision is based on your failure to meet the performance expectations and requirements established for this position. This decision is effective as of today, with your last date of employment with the city of Tucson being Friday, April 3rd, 2026. That's the end of the notice. And again, it's Exhibit A9. So that was properly provided and it's in your packet. The notice clearly provides the information required by the rule to put Ms. Calhoun Zen on notice of her termination under the rule. When you look at the applicable law, which is relevant here, both federal and state courts have held that errors in documents do not create legal rights. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit has addressed the impact of a clerical error in case, it's called Grigsby versus U.S. Department of Commerce, 729 F. 2nd, 772, Federal Circuit, 1984. The issue was raised whether Grigsby was a probationary employee at the time of his separation, and specifically, quote, the effect on his employment status of clerical errors allegedly committed in the processing of his appointment, end quote. Grigsby was actually given a form that stated his probationary period was completed, far different than this case. The court held that this form was not controlling and the law in effect at the time had to be applied. Second case, the United States of America Merit Systems Protection Board addressed its jurisdiction in Bryant versus Department of Army, 2022 MSB 1, March 24th, 2022, and we included that as Exhibit A10 in your packet. In this matter, the court found that it did not have jurisdiction because the employee was a probationary employee, despite the fact that her original paperwork said she was subject to a one-year probationary period, which she completed. The law actually required a two-year probationary period, and the law, not the erroneous paperwork, is what controls whether an employee has completed their probationary period. So the laws help address this issue about whether this can be appealed. State law also establishes that an error by a government agency or employee does not create rights. See, for example, Carlson versus Arizona Department of Economic Security, 184 Aris 4, 906 P. 2nd 61, Court of Appeals 1995, agency error causing an overpayment of benefits did not stop the state from recovering the overage. Also see Valencia Energy Company versus Arizona Department of Revenue, 191 Aris 565, 959 P. 2nd 1256, 1998, Department of Revenue could levy taxes even though the state employees expressly advised taxpayers that activities were not taxable. The law governs. An employee's error, even if that employee is the city attorney, and even if it's a clerical error, cannot create rights that do not exist and cannot override the city rules that determine whether an employee has satisfied their probationary period. None of Ms. Senzin's arguments are prevailing. The vacation was paid pursuant to the new citywide directive that paid probationary employees for unused vacation. This turned out to benefit Ms. Senzin. The offer letter signed by then-city attorney Michael Rankin is the act of an appointing officer appointing her to classified service effective April 7th, 2025, and a review completed 10 months after her first date of work cannot be said to be a document that appoints her to classified service. The clerical errors in some of the documents do not legally make her a permanent employee when she has not satisfied the 12-month requirement under the city service rules, the city charter, and the process. The city of Tucson does not hold any ill will towards Ms. Senzin. They wish her well. They wish she would move forward and hope that she can do so. But for this commission, Ms. Senzin's appointment date was April 7th, 2025, and her termination date was April 3rd, 2026, and that doesn't equal a 12-month probationary period. She was probationary, and the commission technically doesn't have authority to even hear her appeal, but we appreciate the due process and bringing this forth to address it for you. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Senzin.
For the record, my last name is Calhoun Senzin. It's not Senzin.
Sorry.
As well. So thank you.
Sorry. I apologize.
No, I just wanted to make sure it was clear on the record as well. So I'm going to address some of the things because it's clear that the city has changed what it has alleged in its particular brief as well. But I'm going to start with several things that the city has stated, and I want the commission to understand that everything Ms. Pace has said is not evidence. There is no declaration from Ms. Pace stating that this was an error, and Ms. Pace is not allowed to make evidentiary statements on behalf of her client. They have known since April what my position was. I have seen no declaration in any document stating that Mr. Lusk made an error. So without that information, there is no error. And Ms. Pace understands under the ethical rules that she cannot give testimony as a witness unless she is one. And in this case, she isn't. And there are four things in her brief that I'd like to point out as well. On page 3, line 7 17 through 20, she said that Mr. Lusk did not, he reviewed my performance evaluation. He did not, that performance evaluation was written without any consideration from me. It was given to me, and I had 5 minutes to review it and sign it. I didn't have any input in it, and if you would take notice, on the left-hand corner, the city has refused to identify who even wrote that particular performance evaluation as well. Issue number two is, in the city's brief, it says, I failed to respond by Friday, April 3rd, 2026, about whether I was going to resign or be terminated. And that is not true because I was in the office on April 3rd, hence how you have my signature. No one came to my home. My signature, I was upstairs, and I told Mr. Lusk that I would not resign my position because there was no reason for me to do so based on his alleged statement that I wasn't fit. I didn't know what fit meant. I surmise based on historical data under Title VII, but I just moved on. I said, I'm not resigning. He said, fine. He went and drafted this letter. I have a witness to that effect because I gave the witness the actual document that I signed. I said, I'm not resigning. She took it into Mr. Lusk's office when they were having a meeting. And that's on page 3, lines 23 to 24. So that is also a fabrication. The city did not decide to determine me based on my evaluation dated February 17th. I wrote an evaluation, a response to my evaluation because there were some things in there that were stereotypical about Black women. And I questioned why those things would even show up in my evaluation and why no one had even reached out to me. It took me a month to write that and to give it serious thought. My evaluation was on the 17th, the date I signed it. I wrote my my response, and I gave it to Mr. Lusk on March 26th, if memory serves me, as well. So I wasn't fired after the evaluation. There was a month there, and the document of my evaluation is in the city's brief, and it has the date on it. And Mr. Lusk asked me to leave shortly after that as well. So that is in the evaluation. That's page 3. Lines 19 through 21, and that is false the way it's stated by the city. And I do not assert, as the city has alleged, that my probationary period is based on a Scrivener's error. There is no documentation, no declaration from anyone in the city that what they did was an error. Mr. Lusk or whomever wrote that particular evaluation put April 1st. I did not put that date on my evaluation. And there's been no explanation to date how it got there. It is not a Scrivener's error. It is a correct date of the date of appointment. And despite the city's attempt to consolidate start date with date of appointment, that is not what it says in the civil service rules. The civil service rules does not state that the date of appointment is the start date. It could say that. It doesn't say that. Pima County says that. This one doesn't. And so it leaves it blank. And the city is trying to say it's my fault, as if I wrote the civil service rules, that there is this gap about when there's an appointment and when there's a start date. So I'm arguing that my appointment date was April 1st. I did work, which the city has not provided to me. I had to do a public records request for my file. I did not receive everything. They wouldn't give me my records. I started working for the city before I arrived here because I was required to do a bunch of videos on my own time that took daily 8 hours a day to review all of the documents. And when I arrived at the city, they said that was improper, that those things should not be happening until I officially start. So I did work, which is where I believe that April 1st date comes from as well. And again, it's the date of appointment, not my start date. And there's no language anywhere, and the city has not cited any, that the start date is synonymous with the date of appointment as well. So those are the errors in this city. I just want to say that on April 3rd, 2026, I was a permanent employee, and I have shown, and I will stand on my briefs. I don't need to read you what's already been written as well. It's shown that through two independent grounds, the city's motion never addresses, and a third ground that the city's own personnel records establish, which are a sufficient basis for jurisdiction. If the commission looks at the performance evaluation with the April 1st date, and then my termination memo, which states I'm a permanent employee, and now they're saying, well, now vacation, that was changed, but it wasn't changed in the civil service rule that are still posted online and available to the community. So any change that occurred is not public, and no one, I was not made aware of it as well. And so I don't know if anyone else has, and it hasn't changed the civil service rules. So either the city is saying we're not bound to the same standards you are, and we get to do what we want when we want, and our own chief legal officer isn't bound to do the right thing. He can make mistakes, Ms. Calhoun-Zenzen, but you cannot make mistakes. Mr. Lusk wrote the performance evaluation with the April 1st deadline, and it showed that I was a permanent employee come May 31st. It doesn't say anywhere that the an employee has to work 12 hours. It says the probationary period is 12 months. That is a distinction that the city refuses to acknowledge. When I was terminated on April 3rd, the April 3rd memo says that I'm a permanent employee, and it cites, I think, Rule 7.3b, which is for permanent employees. But there's no explanation how that information got in there, and that is not a Scrivener's error. So if the city is allowed to have its perspective, anything they do is a Scrivener's error. Anything I do is something other than that. And they can't change the standards merely because it doesn't suit their needs at this particular point in time. I go back to the vacation payout under the city's code, section 22-93A. There is no revisement to that code that is currently online and available publicly as well. Section 3B states that I'm a permanent employee. That was written by their chief legal officer, Mr. Lusk. The appointment date, the hire date controls as well. And this is where I think the commission needs to spend time reviewing as well. And hire date and appointment date is not synonymous as it relates currently to our civil service rules. According to the documents that we have and the things that were filed, if the city doesn't do two particular things, which they did not do for a discharge as well, there can be no, I was automatically passed on probation. So there's a qualifying notice that's required to be sent. There's no qualifying notice in the record that's required for a person who does not pass probation. And if those things are not done, the city loses its discharge power, and it only exists during a probationary period. So because the things that were required to be done to discharge an employee were not done, the city can't say, well, we're not bound by those rules. The city is bound by its own civil service rules. And that is the case that I cited and I attached in my brief. I think it's Exhibit 9. The city's case law is, and Ms. Pace knows this, and as a person who clerked on the appellate court after law school, federal law is not binding here on Arizona cases. Civil service rules is a municipal issue. It's not federal, and these cases have no particular applicability. She may say, well, they're persuasive. They're not persuasive because they're based on statutory things that are not here and are being addressed in this particular issue. So Grisby and Bryant, they both involved a statute fixing a period that was erroneous on a form. That's not the issue we have here. And federal law is not the binding jurisdiction in Arizona, especially if there's a case in Arizona that is on point, which there are tons of civil service cases interpreting Arizona civil service rule, a bunch for Tucson as well. And so Ms. Pace and the city should not be allowed to circumvent and ignore all of that to cherry pick cases that they think may give them some benefit as well. So closing, I'd like to say on the two grounds that I have argued in my brief, it shows that there's no factual finding at all. Mr. Lusk determined that my date of appointment was April 1st. He determined when I was terminated on April 3rd that I was a permanent employee. The vacation payout is only payable to permanent employees. There's been no change in that record publicly as well. So I would like the commission to find that it has jurisdiction and that it should set a hearing for the matter related to my termination. Thank you.
None of the other commissioners have questions at this time. I'd like to make a motion that we're going to executive session for legal advice without closing off our question period. So I have a question from the lawyer before I know whether I can ask the question I have.
Apparently.
So I move that we go into executive session.
All right. Yes, ma'am. I have a motion to go into executive session. I have a motion and a second. All in favor that we move into executive session at this time for legal advice, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say nay. Motion passes 3-0. We'll move into executive session.
No.
Executive sessions are confidential per Arizona statute. Thank you all.